The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
It is championship weekend, baby. We have something that is happening this weekend here in K4 Wins that has never happened as far as I know. I tried to find out, but for the first time in college football history, every single championship game this weekend is six or less. Western Kentucky, Jacksonville State 4.5, Tulane Army 4.5, Boise State, UNLV 4, Arizona State 1, Miami, Ohio 1, Texas 3, Louisiana 5.5, SMU 2.5, and Oregon 3.5. So it is imperative. It is imperative that you have like four guys like us. Case Kiefer, of course, he's the man, chief editor out there, Las Vegas Sun, has been handicapping forever, knows everything. Kai Gregory's been playing both sides for a long, long period of time, knows exactly what's going on and likes line movements big time. Of course, we've got the Kipster there, Kip Kiefer, executive director of the Birmingham Racecourse and Casino, and has done some handicapping of his own. And of course, I did sports radio for 30 years. I'm Tony Curry. This is K4 Wins. Before we do our pleasantries, Kai, tell everyone how we're doing as we get ready for bowl season, man. We've been on fire. We've been having a great season. How'd it look last week?
Another winning weekend, 12-7-1 Saturday and Sunday. Last week overall, 39-23-6, 62%. How about Wednesday of this week, though? Wednesday of this week, college basketball, NBA, NHL, 10-1 were our plays. 10-1.
Pretty strong.
November was 147-68-11, 68%. Year to date, we are 337-180-17. Believe it or not, 65.1%. Everything's documented. It's all there. Jump on board.
Man, if you just if you were just a $100 player, you're up around $14,000. That's pretty, I mean, that's pretty incredible, really, a $100 player, because obviously we have people out there that play a lot more than that. It's been kind of crazy. I want to start with Case, because he's obviously a ground zero in Las Vegas. This is such a special time of the year, man. We got the NBA playoffs. We got everything going on at Major League Baseball. Just talk about what it's like out there on the Las Vegas Strip, the books. And of course, you know, we know the first third of the year is where you make your money. The second third, you break even. The last third, when you have all the information you need, you'd think it'd be on the better side, but it really isn't. So how does it play out in Las Vegas, and what's it feel like out there right now?
The last third for me is when you cash some futures. So
yes. Unfortunately, there you go. There you
not
go.
Doing a ton of that this year. I totaled up my win totals. I think I bet like 56 of them, and I had like a 2% ROI, which it's better than losing.
You had 56. You had 56 futures.
56 win totals. Yeah. So 2% ROI. So in the black, we'll take that. And then this is usually an even bigger week for me with conference championship futures. Unfortunately, I had a really good week last week. I think especially on the show, everything we talked about came in. But unfortunately, some of my conference futures got torpedoed. I'm down. I only have four alive, which is probably the least I've had in the last 4 or 5 years since I've been doing this seriously. I had a really great price on Ohio State, rest in peace. And I also, I have SMU too, at least I still have that, but I had Miami as well. So SMU Miami would have been great. So yeah, to me, that's what the back half of the season is about the cashing those futures. We'll see how that goes this week. As far as Las Vegas, yeah, it is a great time to be here right now. It feels a little weird this week though now. And I think we'll get back to this eventually, but obviously with the Pac-12 disintegration, no conference championship games in town. Last year we had Mountain West and Pac-12 back to back. Obviously Mountain West is home field, so it's at Boise. No Pac-12. Big 12's already making inroads here, so I'm sure they'll be here eventually. We're going to have the college football playoff, but just so many sports in Las Vegas right now. It used to be this was just the rodeo time only, and you're still going to see those cowboy hats and
monster trucks. Yeah, monster trucks too. Yeah.
Yeah, but now, I mean, we've got we just came off F1. We have all these huge college basketball games. I mean, I only went to one of them, but we had a bunch of others, a big UFC card this weekend, NBA Cup next weekend. So, yeah, it's one thing that I think Vegas doesn't get enough credit for is just the scheduling. They kind of dictate their terms, the organizers, when they want the stuff. They say, this is a slow time. This is when we want sports. And the sports we have now, a stretch here, is just phenomenal.
Speaking of the Miami
perspective, Tony, real quick.
Yeah.
So to embellish what Case just said, just a couple of days ago, Case was at T-Mobile Arena watching Kansas Duke. Directly across the street at the same time, what's going on another game, Alabama
Houston.
Was yeah. was playing Houston. Yeah. So, I mean, these were literally, you could just walk across the skyway, across the boulevard. These games are going on across the street from each other. Name someplace else in the country. You've got a bunch of top five teams playing across the street from each other at the same time.
It's crazy.
We were 2-0 in college basketball on those picks on those games, by the way.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. Boy. Speaking of college football, the Miami Hurricanes are very interesting. The fact you brought them up. Any surprise Alabama goes into one of the final CFPs as a plus 105 to make the playoffs? And obviously they're perched right there, right in front of Miami of Florida. Miami of Florida, of course, 0-1 against top 25 teams. Alabama 3-1. I think that kind of tipped the scales. But Alabama firmly now in the playoffs as a minus 220 favorite. Any surprise to anybody there? Because obviously one spot away and they're out.
Oklahoma, stupid. Alabama has no business in the playoffs.
Really?
Well, you don't think they're one of the best? Absolutely. Let's clarify. They're not absolutely in, because if Clemson does beat SMU, then it becomes a discussion between, because they've already said in the committee, which I thought was a mistake. I thought they were supposed to start over every single week. Yep. The guy already said nobody's going to move ahead of anybody from last week's poll. But if Clemson beats SMU, then the discussion becomes, is it SMU, who they already said with only one loss going into this game, the chairman said the week before that, the inconsistencies never stop. He said the week before that, that we're not going to penalize teams for losing their conference championship games necessarily.
Well, SMU having two losses against an Alabama with three losses, they're going to take Bama all day long. I mean, just look at the numbers. I wouldn't trust. I think it's a slam dunk. I think the only reason Alabama wouldn't get in is they don't have to play anybody this weekend. They can't screw it up.
Ridiculous that Ohio State's ranked ahead of Tennessee with a just horrendous loss at home. I get that they're
a 500 team, yeah.
Other people, but it is just stupid that they dropped as little as they did to, let's be honest, a horrible Michigan team. I think the Ohio State loss at home to Michigan is, in my opinion, almost worse than the Alabama. I mean, let's be honest, Alabama never had a chance in the Oklahoma game. That's the difference. Yeah. Ohio State had a chance. Alabama absolutely got obliterated by Oklahoma. They never had a chance, even with the one little play. If you take that into account, that's one of the worst losses of the season by any team in the top 25.
The Oklahoma loss?
Yeah,
and I agree with you. And I know, Kip, you've been all over Oklahoma all year long, as lousy they have been. I mean, they're a bowl team. I mean, I know it's the first year in the SEC, and I think they kind of saved their ass towards the end of the season. They did play better. But it's interesting because 3 or 4 weeks ago, I thought we all agreed there's no way a three-loss team's getting in. And Bama looks like it's going to fly in the face of that. And the other thing is you don't ever want to lose late. And look at all these teams who have lost late, who are high enough up in the top 12 that they're going to end up getting in anyway. So it's a little dampening a little bit. And quite frankly, if it feels like it's wide open right now, Case, before we get into some of our plays, what are the odds on teams to win the national title right now? Who's odds on? Is it Oregon? Who is it?
I don't have that in front of me. I'll get into just one second, but yeah. I do think there's a really interesting betting conversation around all this Alabama stuff. And you did allude to it. You mentioned plus 105. I think I saw as high as plus 120 early in the week for Alabama to make the playoff, which was too high. But now I just feel like it's gone way too far in the other direction. And maybe we disagree on this, but minus 250 to me is just insane. I don't think if SMU has a respectable, even if they lose this weekend, as long as they don't lose like 56-0, I have a hard time seeing them taking Alabama over them. I think that their price to make the playoffs should be strongly correlated with SMU's money line in this game. SMU right now is like minus 135, minus 140. Maybe you say, okay, it's a TV show. It's Alabama. They're going to do every favor they can for them, which I believe. So, okay, then we knock it up to minus 150, minus 175. Minus 250 is just out of whack to me. That's way too high. If you bet plus 120, plus money, minus 110, congratulations. You made a good bet because there's a good chance Clemson wins, and it is Alabama. But this is like a lesson to not chase when the price gets away, because to me, there's just no way there's value at more than minus 200 on Alabama to make the playoff.
Well, and I think that says a lot. When there's no value, you don't want to play it, and they don't want you to play it because they know they're going to make it. I mean,
I'll get back to you. Come back to me on the championship odds. I haven't really looked at those.
Yeah, I'd love to do that, because this year, and it's a crazy, because I mean, it was the first year we got 12 teams in. It is so wide open to me. I mean, you can make an argument certainly at Oregon. I mean, I've done a lot of research just over the last couple of days. A lot of people said that the Oregon's been getting by their teeth. They win by 3 against Wisconsin. Of course, they beat Ohio State by 1, but every other game they've won by 18 or more points. So it's a good football team, and Gabriel Dillon's not getting a lot of look-see as far as in some of the numbers he's put up. Everyone else is talking about the Travis Hunters of the world and some of the other great quarterbacks in the league, but he has been so consistent for Oregon and has really kept them in a great spot. And I think that I've got a huge play on that game, on the Oregon-Penn State game this weekend, that we actually did on our television show in the starting lineup along with Kip Kiefer. But so yeah, I'm looking forward to some of the games. I think it's going to be really interesting.
Sharpest sports book in the country, I'd say Circa, has Oregon the favorite right now, plus 325. Texas the second choice, plus 450. Then we have Ohio State and Georgia next at 6-1, and then Notre Dame at 8-1. Give you an idea.
Okay. And wow. Do you have Tennessee? Just for guys?
Yeah, I have them all up. Let's see. Tennessee, wow. We have at 20-1.
That's a good value.
No, it's not. It's a waste of money.
I mean, it's your value. It's a waste of money. Come on, put a 10 spot on it or something, man.
Tennessee does not play well on the road. Yep. They have not played well on the road this year. More than likely, no matter what happens this weekend, they're going on the road based on where the rankings are now. And they just have not looked good on the road. And more than likely, and this is going to cause a huge deal. There is going to be, and I know that the whole 12 team, we had 32, 64, whatever team, there's going to be controversy. But if you get 3-loss Alabama and 3-loss Georgia, just so you know, I'm making that pick, 3-loss Georgia, both of those teams in the playoffs, there is going to be a lot of pissed off people across the country.
Like there is every year. I mean, are you making the point that you're getting the 12 best teams, the 12 most deserving? I mean, we have that argument every single year. Do you want the 12 best?
Late in the year, if you're getting the 12 best, South Carolina should be in the playoffs over Alabama and Ole Miss. They looked better.
But they didn't. They lost to both of those.
Yeah, they lost head-to-head on both of those. So, I mean.
They did, but yeah. Late in the year, and I mean, if you're starting over every week, which is BS, they did not start over every week. You're not starting. You're making it no matter what, and then we'll find the next four.
I think a bigger picture, I think best, that when it was 4, you had to do more best. I think now that it's 12, I think it has to be skewed more towards more deserving. And this year especially, I just don't think there's a big gap between many of these teams. We've seen so many teams beat each other that, you know, to make an argument, Alabama should be over SMU. Like, would I have Alabama favored over SMU on a neutral field? Yeah, there's no doubt I would. But it wouldn't be more than a touchdown. I mean, there's not a big gap between these teams. So then I think we got to fall back on what you did. And I just don't think getting blown out by Oklahoma at the end of the year. I know Georgia's making it anyway, but you're really invalidating these conference championship games that you want to make money off of. If you say, okay, 3-loss Georgia is still going to have a high seed, but 2-loss SMU.
Did anyone think a 3-loss team would make it into the playoff? Seriously, did anybody? I didn't think. I thought for sure there'd be enough 2-loss teams that were decent enough to make it in. I didn't think a 3-loss, and so now we may have 2 of them in.
Well, I think the committee got so much grief about not looking at resumes and making Ward Manuel, the chairman, has made some of the stupidest statements. Well, we don't really pay much attention to schedule strength. And we're not going to penalize a team for a weak schedule because it's not their fault. Those kind of comments, I think the management powers that be said, that's not exactly your mission here to pick teams with the best win loss records. They don't need to fly to Grapevine and eat filet and lobster and drink Dom Perignon if they can sit at home and just put the teams with the best win-loss record. So I think they got a little shake up halfway through the process and started looking at that more. But the whole thing is so imperfect, it's got to be overhauled.
It's going to be a fantastic weekend. 9 championship games and not one game more than a touchdown favorite. So all the dogs could perhaps come in. By the way, since 2005, dogs 70, 65, and 3 against the spread. It is super even. And it'll probably be more even again. We have four revenge games, UNLV, Boise State, Jacksonville State, Western Kentucky, Ohio, Miami of Ohio, and Texas and Georgia. They all have a chance to bite back. We know how that goes. 27-27 teams have in the last 54 games when they have a chance to bite back and get revenge. So they're about even. And then the teams against the best number so far, Marshall won that this year, 11-1 against the spread, 5-0 as a dog. Arizona State was 10-2, Tulane 9-3, Ohio 8-4. And by the way, Georgia 3-9 against the spread. Normally you have a 3-9 team making the playoffs, pretty doggone rare. Let's start with the upper left-hand corner in our Hollywood squares here. Let's go with Kipster here and give me some of your big plays here for championship weekend, my friend.
Well, I have to say that from a betting standpoint, I'm really interested to be more of a spectator today than a real active participant, because I think all these games are really kind of toss ups. And I didn't really do much work on the Friday night games, which, you know, I know our broadcast, we're doing this on Friday, so it should be out this afternoon. So I'm going to leave that to you guys. I concentrated on tomorrow's slate. Surprisingly, I think maybe the best bet on the sheet for me is the game nobody's interested in. Miami, Ohio beat Ohio by 10 points when they played before. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, going to Bowling Green last week, a team that's given some big teams a major tussle, and I thought was probably the best team in the MAC. Miami, Ohio went and manhandled them last week at Bowling Green. I like Miami, Ohio. Virtually a pick 'em here against the Ohio Bobcats. I don't know what's going to be so much different than the last time they played. So of all the games on the Saturday slate, that's the one I lean to. I don't understand the Georgia Texas line. I know everybody thinks Texas's roster is so awesome and Texas has so much potential, but I still don't see it. They completely dominated Texas A&M. It wasn't even a game. It was an absolute just beat down, and they only managed 17 points. I just don't think this offense is very explosive. They're more plodding and methodical. Georgia beat their ass when they played in Austin. There's no other way to look at it. The score was 30-15. They were gifted a touchdown on what Kirby Smart calls the unfortunate call, which may or may not have been the correct call, but it was still completely improper in his execution, a non-reviewable play because the fans showered the field with debris. They had time to think about it and turned it around. I'm still convinced that edict came from the SEC office to, yeah, you guys got to do something about that. That was the wrong call. But be that as it may, Georgia beat the hell out of them in that game. And now they're playing closer to Athens and Atlanta. I think Texas certainly can win, but I don't understand the line. I know I'm somewhat biased on the Georgia side, but just looking at it from a practical standpoint, I would take the points, I think, in all four games. I don't think Iowa State and Arizona State is teams we expected. Arizona State picked dead last in the Big 12 in the preseason. Iowa State not picked much higher than that. And also the Clemson game. Clemson's been there before, kind of been there, done that. It's a new stage for SMU. I'm going to just go with all the dogs on Saturday and all the big games. I think as much as I've detracted from Penn State, it's a lot more familiar surrounding for them than Oregon coming. And Oregon showed some cracks in the facade in that game at Wisconsin recently. I'm not sold that they're the be all end all team. So give me the dogs in all four games, all of them under a field goal.
All four dogs. I hope you're right. Should be a great weekend. Kai, what you got, brother?
I disagree. I love the Miami of Ohio pick. I think that's I agree on that. You know, they were up, but they gave up two touchdowns in the fourth quarter to even make right. That game 30-20. So I do like that. Tonight, Western Kentucky, Puff, the quarterback for Jacksonville State, is questionable. He's a game time decision. Jacksonville State goes as he goes. Western Kentucky's defense is better. They've been playing better. Now JSU's better at home. I like Western Kentucky in that game. You know, Jacksonville State's -4.5. That line opened at 1.5.
Yep.
Why? After they just, and I know they only lost by 2 at Western Kentucky. I just like Western Kentucky there. Georgia, and especially SEC championship games and in Mercedes, I don't like the way Kirby Smart coaches. I just don't. I don't think you're going to get 6 turnovers from the two quarterbacks either in this game. I like the over in that game more than anything on that fast track. And I know they're not scoring, and I agree. Texas has been methodical, but on the fast track without the six turnovers, you get the over last game. You know, Texas played horrible and it was 45, right? 30-15. Was that the final? So I like the over, you know, sitting at 49 there. I'm really going to be interested to see, you know, is Etienne going to play? Miller, a defensive lineman, is he going to play? What's going to happen with Kelvin Banks Jr.? Is he's probably not going to play, which means you've got a freshman at left tackle for Texas guarding Quinnier's backside. Not sure that's going to be real beneficial for him, but, you know, I would go with that over. You know, I'm interested to hear what Case has to say on UNLV with Boise. That game just has me up in the air. I think I would have to go with Boise with the home field advantage, but I really think UNLV has a super strong chance to win that game tonight. I would not be surprised at all because I don't think Madsen can be the quarterback they need him to be in this situation. I think UNLV had a great game plan last time. I think their defense is better. I think it's going to be a ball control game. And I think UNLV's versatile quarterback is going to be the difference in that game. I think UNLV wins that game straight up. I really do. I like them. You know, I just throwing this out, Tulane and Army, you know, the Army is 26-1 the last 5 years and they don't turn the ball over. Just because, you know, Tony likes to give out random numbers that don't mean a freaking thing.
That's right. In college That's football. Right. That's right.
So I want him to do that also.
That's right.
I don't like Munkin as far as he's never beat Tulane. I don't know what that means because he's like 0-4, but still, Army has the better defense, but we'll go from there. And I disagree. I think Oregon killed Penn State. I'm done.
Yeah, I'm going to be all over that game too. Let's go to Las Vegas quick first. UNLV, what's your thoughts on that game there, Case?
Oh man, so many thoughts on all these games, and this is the one where I really don't have that strong of a feeling. I'm in an interesting situation here. I have UNLV to win the conference, which is much bigger, so that's what I'll be rooting for at 8-1. But I also have Boise to make the playoff. So unfortunately, I can't cast both of those. Both. Yeah. This is one though where the number just didn't quite come where I hoped. I mean, I really thought I'd be adding even more on UNLV here. I was so ready to bet UNLV. I thought it'd be 6.5 or 7 just because of Boise's reputation. Obviously, it came out, you know, 3.5, 4.5, which was right about where I made it. Honestly, maybe even a little short with Boise. I do think the home field advantage is big here. But, I mean, Boise has the best player and the home field advantage. But I'm telling you, UNLV's roster, other than that, is just way better than Boise's. I mean, they got SEC and Big Ten guys starting all over, especially defensively in the skill positions. So to me, like I said, I didn't play this game. I have those two futures. But it comes down to how much do you value Ashton Jeanty, who to me, UNLV, I mean, when he played a real defense this year, UNLV shut him down pretty good. I know he had like 120 yards, but he averaged like 3.5 yards per carry. I mean, UNLV's got a couple NFL guys on defense. I could definitely see a path to UNLV winning, but it just was a little too short for me to get to playing at Boise. It's too bad this couldn't be like last year and it was at UNLV or even a neutral field. I think I'd be stronger on UNLV, but maybe this is a bigger picture too, because I just think maybe home field advantage isn't being accounted for enough in these conference championship games this weekend to give a taste of another line that I think might be just a little too high.
Any other games you're looking at besides?
Got so much. I want to respond to everything.
Let's go, baby. It's all you.
I'll go as fast as I can. I really hope
take your time.
Right in Western Kentucky. I've got a future on Western Kentucky. The reason the line moved so much is Tyler Huff, who's really been the engine of Jacksonville State, their quarterback, got hurt last week. He's still listed as a game time decision today, but clearly someone thinks he's playing because they've gotten bet up. But who knows? Maybe even if he plays, he's not 100%. I haven't hedged this at all, and I don't think I'm going to. I'm going to let it ride with Western Kentucky. I like that one. I really like Tulane right when the numbers open. Now I'm a little bit worried. If you've seen the weather forecast there, it's going to be like 20 degrees and windy. Sorry. I feel like that really plays to Army's advantages. So now I made a bigger bet on the under. I got 46.5. Looked like there's still a lot of 45.5. So I wouldn't go to 45. I mean, that's kind of a key number, like 24, 21 falls there and stuff. But if you can get even like 45.5, maybe the under there. I'm with these two guys. I bet Miami of Ohio earlier in the week. God, I can't believe when I was lamenting losing conference futures, Bowling Green, that was the one that hurt the most. But their all-star tight end, Harold Fannin, wasn't 100%. He gutted it out and played, but he was like the best, other than Ashton Jeanty, probably the best non-Power 5 player all year. So that hurt. I would have loved to have Bowling Green in here. I don't know, though. I've talked to some really sharp guys that are on Ohio, or at least just one guy that I really respect that says this offense has just come on to a point to where This line should be more slanted towards recent weeks, which would have Ohio closer. But so I kind of have second thoughts, but I'm on board with Miami of Ohio. I love Iowa State in the Big 12. I don't buy Arizona State. Their second best offensive player. I mean, I know Cam Scadaboo's everything, but the Jordan kid, the receiver, he's out. I think Iowa State's tougher. I think Arizona State's kind of had a horseshoe all year. So I really like Iowa State. I'm off Okai. I think Penn State, it might be 2-2 again, and it's going to be Kip and I against you two. I think I love Penn State in this game. I can't believe, luckily I was in Kansas and one sportsbook opened 6. I like almost tripped over myself. I mean, just statistically, these two teams are dead even. Everyone hates Penn State. I don't know why. I guess James Franklin doesn't win big games. And it pains me to say this because I love Dan Lanning. If I'm starting a program, I'm hiring Dan Lanning. But what has he done that makes him such a big game guy? He got beat by Washington twice last year when he had the better team. I know that they barely beat Ohio State at home because Will Howard did a stupid slide. And they're not Jason Day. I have golf on my brain. Sorry. Ryan Day mismanaged the clock. I really think this game's a coin flip. So I like Penn State a lot. Sorry, real quick. I'm just trying to get through them all. I like Louisiana laying the points against Marshall. I think you're getting a discount because Ben Woolridge, their quarterback's been hurt. But this kid they've had come in for him, Chandler Fields, who's been just as good. I think this should probably be a touchdown. Oh, which brings me to another thing. I love that you brought up all these games are 7 points or less. I wasn't even looking for this. I just stumbled upon it last night. It has happened before, but it's been 18 years. Interesting betting nugget. I think I saw 2006 the last time every conference championship was 7 or lower. Which finally, I guess, brings me to, I got to weigh in on Georgia, Texas. I think the disconnect with Texas, and not only for Kip, for a lot of people, as I see a lot of people that are skeptical about Texas, I guess to give you a little data 101, I know their scores haven't been impressive, but the scores are just one data point. What do you want to do with data? You want to get it down, get as many trials as you can, the biggest sample size. If you look what Texas is doing to people on a per play basis, they are just smashing everyone. And it feels like they've been methodical and haven't tried to pour it on. And Georgia really hasn't been. I mean, Georgia's played with fire time and time again this year. I know they've played a tougher schedule. This is something
a lot tougher.
I know this is something that people struggle to understand, or even when I try to explain it, they don't get it. If you're telling me you got to pick one team to win here, your life depends on it, I'm going Texas. I think they're better than Georgia. I said when they played the first time, I said, I'm pretty sure Texas will beat Georgia if they play again. But I always thought it'd be in the playoff. I thought Alabama wouldn't trip over itself and we'd have Alabama, Texas. I think Mercedes-Benz Stadium is a bigger factor here than people are giving it credit. Georgia plays so well there. I think they have a little home field advantage there. I made this number Texas -1.5. Mm-hmm. Now, part of it is I have a Texas future to protect. But when this got to 3, I couldn't help myself. I bet Georgia +3. So, again, I mean, all this is a spectrum of win probability. Point spreads at the end of the day to me. So if you're asking me who I think wins, I think it's probably Texas 51-52%, but +3 is a lot higher than that. I think this is a close game. So I did hedge a little bit by taking Georgia +3, but I just think 3 is too much. That's a key number in football. And I forgot I bet this, but I am on Kai's side in the other part of the game. I bet over 48.5 earlier in the week. I think
I like that.
The first time these two teams played, the total was 58. I mean, we're making a 9.5-point adjustment.
It went under. It's really interesting, too, because I think you look at that whenever you can get Georgia plus points, you're like, okay, what's wrong? What's wrong with this picture? But again, you're talking about a team went 3-9 against the spread. If you're one of these teams, if you were riding Georgia the last couple of years, you did pretty well. This year, you got your ass handed to you. And you're 6 games under .500, but great plays.
It's a team that should have lost to Georgia Tech if it wasn't for the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, and let's say that as a gambler, we hate teams like that. We hate teams that win but don't cover. Ask Gene Stallings.
Well, I told you guys last week, Georgia would not cover 19.5 against Georgia Tech. That was insane.
No, you were spot on. I come with a couple of different teams. I'll start right off the bat. I love Oregon in this game. I was looking at, everyone keeps talking about all the close games they've had. They really have not had any close games. They had the Wisconsin game. And of course, that was at Wisconsin. We always talk about how difficult it's to play up in Dairyland. They win by 3. And of course, they beat Ohio State by 1, 32-31. It's a winner. I don't care if they cover by 20 or by 1. They win a game against Ohio State, which is a great game, a team that's gone 47-1 against all the rest of the Big Ten. James Franklin, 1-16 straight up, 5-12 against the spread against top 5 teams since he's been at Penn State. He has not beaten a top 5 team in 8 years. He just does not play big ball games. He does not. And I'm sitting here looking at Oregon giving up a field goal. I'll buy it down to three. I'll take Oregon all day long. I think they finally, and Dylan Gabriel, again, another kid that a lot of people aren't talking about, should probably be in the hunt for a Heisman Trophy. He's not even sniffing that line. And I think he's got something to prove here. And I think he has a fantastic game against Penn State. I think they've been playing with house money all year long. I'm taking the Oregon Ducks. If I can get him at three, I'll take it all day long. Dabo Sweeney somehow backed his ass into a national title probability here.
Miami backed him.
Yeah, he's nine and three against the spread on neutral fields since he's been at Clemson, and he's won eight straight conference championship games. And they're on a three-game losing streak since 2005. Teams that are in three-game losing streaks going into championship weekend are a perfect 18-0 in championships against the spread. I'm taking Clemson all day long. I think, you know, he told just to buy the stock last year. I'm getting them plus 2.5. I'll take them all day long. Iowa State, Matt Campbell, 35-22, 61%, not great against the spread. But Iowa State's never been there, done that. They've never won a championship. I'm going to take that underdog plus the one. And then John Sumrall's 19-7 against the spread, a perfect 11-0 the last couple of years, laying points on the road as a dog. I'm going to take Tulane here. I also think that the mustard is off the Army thing. I think a couple of weeks ago we were talking about Army and Navy being undefeated, and it was unbelievable. It was a feel-good story. It was great. That's all hearsay now. I don't think Army's the same team they were back then. And I think Tulane lays the wood and gives up the five in that particular game. So anything else hitting you guys up as far as in college football games this weekend? I think we covered it, right?
Yeah. I think the ACC might be what we talked least about, but I don't really have that many strong feelings there. Like I said, I have the SMU future and I think the number is fair. So I did hedge a little bit with Clemson, but it's weird. I've bet against Clemson literally, I think, every week this year, and it served me pretty well. So it's weird to be kind of on them here, but a 1 or 2 point SMU win would be a chef's kiss for me.
I will say this, and I think a lot of people were thinking, you know, we went from a 14 playoff to a 12 team playoff, and some people say that muddies the water. I think the more the merrier, and certainly we're looking between the 12th and 13th team, and that may be Alabama, it may not be. It is as wide open, and you just shared the numbers with us. There are no big, huge favorites to win the national title, and all it's going to take is someone in it that is predicted there just by the numbers we have going into championship weekend that every game is 6 points or less. It is going to be probably one of the best playoffs we've ever seen. I mean, it should be fantastic. It should be.
Well, let me throw out one other question real quick. Case said he can't win both ways in UNLV. What if UNLV wins 21-20 in a down-to-the-wire great game? Does Boise State get consideration as an at-large against Alabama with their only loss, a loss in the championship game, and a 3-point loss at Oregon, the number one team in the country? Is that a realistic scenario?
I don't think so, but I wish I could put you on the committee to argue for that.
It should.
That would be nice. I don't think they'll do any favors for the non-power program.
For the Mountain West, yeah, for sure.
And the only reason I think that Alabama slam dunk, first of all, because they are minus 250, but they didn't have to put them where they put them in the last CFP. They could have left them even a couple spots down and then moved them up, despite the fact that, but they knew that they weren't playing another ball game, and they're like, okay, if we want Alabama to be in, we have to put them in at number 11 now, and that's what they did, and so I think it's a slam dunk. And let's face it, I think the playoffs are better having Alabama in.
I'm sure TV thinks so.
Absolutely.
I mean, Even to be honest, I mean, I think it'd be a borderline travesty if they, I hate speaking this superlatively, but if they get in over SMU when SMU loses a close game, I would be totally against that. But maybe it's also that I'm biased because as someone I've got Oregon, Georgia, and Texas futures. I don't want Alabama in. I'd be more scared about Alabama getting in.
Well, let me ask you, and then we'll let you guys go. And by the way, K4 wins. We got to mention that K4wins.com. K4wins.com. Go get all of our plays. They're up every single week. We are just knocking out of the park. We have not had a losing week all season long. We had one where we pushed, but we've been on fire. K4wins.com. K4wins.com. So we kind of predicated going into a lot of seasons saying, okay, a three loss team's not going to make it in. You can't lose late. You can't lose your championship game. If you don't make your championship game, there's no way you should be in. All those things are over now. There's nothing precedent in it anymore. With the idea that you could lose a game against an Oklahoma and still make the playoffs, do you like the 12-team format? I'll start with Case.
I mean, I still like it. I think I'm just for more games. And I think that I think this is still better than the position we've been in some past years where, you know, we're arguing about teams at the five spot. So let's see it all play out first. But to me, it still gets, I know this is a contentious issue. There's people all over it, but I'm still for it mainly. And I think the committee is going to align with what I would do. We'll end up seeing. I know that's always risky. But
I do think because the way they got it set up with home field advantage, I think it's really interesting, too, because you got some teams that perhaps aren't perennials that are going to have some home games. Kip, what's your thoughts?
Well, they're trying. It's not the playoff that has me bothered. It's the championship games, because all these conference commissioners, Sankey gave his big preamble on it last week and is going to do it again today on Feinbaum. Going to talk about the conference championship as the showcase game of the year. We've seen in the NBA basketball tournament over the years, teams tank on purpose in the early rounds of the conference tournament so they can go home and get ready for the big dance. I can tell you 90% of the Georgia fans that I have talked to this week would happily trade with Kai's team. They want to be Tennessee sitting on the sidelines watching the mayhem instead of having to be in the arenas banged up as they are. They would much rather be in that spot. Tennessee's in, doesn't have to do a thing. Indiana's in, doesn't have to do a thing. Notre Dame's in. That's really not a fair situation to go to the conference game where they try and tell you it's such a great thing. And it is risk reward. If you manage to win, it's great, I guess, because you get an extra week. You don't have to play till New Year.
And you are winning a conference championship. I mean, I know that doesn't mean a lot, but in an SEC game, that means a lot to win an SEC championship.
But in this playoff era, you don't have the NFL teams in the divisions, the top two teams square off for the division championship. You know, if it's going to be this multi-playoff thing, the championship games to me might be obsolete.
Yeah. Kai, what's your last thoughts?
Totally agree. I think if Tennessee was playing this weekend, they would be they would be a huge underdog. They are so beat up. They absolutely need the time off. I will say that I think you're going to see some people change schedules over the next few years. If SMU loses and gets out and Alabama team gets bumped, gets moved in, you're going to have a lot of these other conferences maybe schedule. Are they going to schedule stronger teams? Or are they going to schedule weaker teams and move? It's going to be very interesting because, some of these bad losses don't matter if it's in conference, apparently.
I can almost see some cream puffs coming back, to be honest with you, because I mean, the conference schedule is going to be tough enough, is particularly when you're in the SEC. I mean, from top to bottom,
absolutely.
That's why we play the law text. But I mean, you know, are we going to see a 4-loss team get in just because they played 4 top 25 teams and went 1-3 against them? I don't know. I mean, it's going to be really interesting.
Alabama, yeah.
As it should be, my friend. Not the Auburn Tigers, but Alabama.
Saban's gone. The committee doesn't realize that yet. They're going to realize it after this year, and DeBoer's not going to get the preferential treatment Saban got, because Saban, he doesn't own college football the way Saban did.
Hey, real quick, if Ryan Day gets bounced in the first round, what should they do with him? Anybody?
He'll be fired. I think he'll be fired.
Do you really?
I think they probably already thought about it, but they didn't want to do it for the playoffs.
They're going to fire Ryan Day, a guy who's 1-4 against Michigan, but 47-1 against everyone else.
But all they never care about beating Michigan
and winning the national championship, and he's done neither.
Yeah,
and he's got a swell beard.
I'm not necessarily saying it's the right thing to do. I don't know. I agree. Both ways. I just think that's what'll happen.
A $20 million payroll, they're not going to be very forgiving if he gets bounced out in the first round.
I mean, who are they going to hire? Because Belichick's going to go to North Carolina, right?
I'll tell you who they want to get. The native son has had the big year at Notre Dame. Freeman is an Ohio State graduate. He looks like a late 30-something guy. I bet that's who they would go after, lock, stock, and barrel. I don't know if he'd leave Notre Dame, but he's an Ohio State guy.
That'd be interesting, too.
Why would you leave Notre Dame to go put yourself in a situation where you actually have to play a schedule to get in the playoffs?
I agree with that.
Ask Brian Kelly, because he's going to get bounced next year, too.
And by the way, Notre Dame lost to a middling MAC team this year, by the way, Northern Illinois, and that didn't cost them at all.
Yeah, and teams that played them were like 12-0 the next week or something. It was crazy. I mean, that's a great team to get right on, for sure. If you play Northern Illinois, you need to make sure you're playing football the next weekend. Great stuff, guys. Check it out. Case Kiefer, of course, he's the executive director and editor there for the Las Vegas Sun, does a fantastic job. Kip Kiefer, for Birmingham Race Course, a casino, does fun, wonderful work out there. Kai Gregory, of course, has been handicapping for years and years and years. I'm Tony Curry. K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com, free site. Check it out. We got all of our plays up there. We are on fire. And now's the time when you don't need to be doing stuff on your own. Let the professionals take care of it, all right? Let the professionals take care of it. Don't do your own tech. Don't, yeah, no doubt. I mean, listen, it don't matter. I don't care. I don't care what I'm playing. I'm not one of these guys that has to put money on a game to make it interesting. You just tell me if it's soccer and I got to play soccer to win, I'll play soccer to win. You give me some croquet later this afternoon, gentlemen, and I'll play it. I'll put money on the bird on the left that'll fly away first. K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com. Thank you, gentlemen.
Enjoyed it, fellas.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.